we just get to it. Reverend Marshall, you want to do that Black History moment for us?
Sure.
All right, after Reverend Marshall will do a Black History moment, and after that, Sister Karen will leave our remarks.
You mind if I do it over here?
Yeah, help yourself, bud.
I'm going to do it over here because I might start the free session. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it doesn't matter to me now because I've been to the mountaintop.
Yes, sir.
I'm not fearing any man. Like any man, I would like to live a long life.
I hear you, Rocker.
Longevity has its place.
Yes, yes.
But I've been to the promised land. And I think I better stop right
now. Go ahead.
Come on, Mark.
I think the point I'm trying to make.
Come on, Mark.
Yes.
The point I'm trying to make is for Black History Month, we often celebrate those icons out of our past, those big heroes and heroines who have made such a mark on history.
Well.
And then so there are those times in which we'll lift up current leaders, you know, and highlight them for their contributions. And then very rarely we'll pick on the upcoming, the ones with potential, like the young people, and we'll lift them up and celebrate them because they're contributors to history today as well. But rarely do we talk about the collective, that is, the popular and the unpopular of us. And so today, Pastor, if you will, I want to just spend a little time there. As I continue to share these thoughts, I want you to bear in mind that you're making history too. And if I say something that kind of walks down your aisle and tap you on the shoulder, just raise your hand and wave at me just to indicate, yeah, that's your story too. Amen?
Amen.
So in my lifetime, I've heard us referred to lots of different ways. I've heard the N-word. Anybody heard that? I've heard colored people being an expression, a phrase. I've heard Negro. I've heard Black. Or African American, and I even heard melanated people. I've heard all kinds of things that refer to us as to who we are. One thing's for sure, we're here and we're here to stay.
Amen.
For you see, I remember that America's wealth that we enjoy as a nation was built on the backs of Black folk. Cheap labor. That caused cotton to become kings because of the slave work that we did.
Amen.
And I know people don't want to talk about reparations, and I really don't get into that. But there's something about owing people something because of how well you have prospered. But it doesn't matter because no matter how you look at it, this nation of people from all places in Africa have come and landed on this soil and have contributed so many things, from great inventions, new discoveries, have had influence on even things such as fashion, the attire we wear, the way our hair is styled, has influenced all people all over the world, our walk, our dance, the music we make and compose, and the social interactions. I mean, just the other day, I saw two Orientals walk up to each other and pound fists together. That's Black influence, my beloved. We have reached across this globe and impacted so much. And anything we set our heart to do, it has got done in excellence. Take, for example, when they finally decided to let a Black man play professional or national baseball. And then when he came to the point of breaking the record of home runs, it made a lot of people nervous in this country. all this happened on my lifetime. Basketball used to be a white sport. I can't say that today. Even football and the runners and the quarterbacks, the world is making room for this melanated skinned people to do what we do. Even the way we worship God is distinguishable. According to the Barna Research, which is an organization that researches thousands of people across America, they said this: African Americans tend to be highly engaged with the Bible. They maintain high views of the scriptures and read more than often than their white and Hispanic adults. You hear that? God is in us like that because that's part of our culture. You being here today is an expression of that. It goes on to say, in contrast, Catholics and Hispanic Americans read the Bible less frequently, but they engage with the scriptures in other ways. This highlights the diversity in our Bible engagement across different population segments. Now, this is the part that really gets me as I look at our history. In spite of the prevailing winds that we've encountered, it certainly has been a lot for us to endure as a people. But we have persevered. We have prevailed. But my beloved, let's be honest. It has not been without casualties. Casualties such as crime, incarceration, poverty, medical challenges, drug epidemic, PTSD, lynching, burning, and branding. Psychological traumas that have placed us in some cases lower or even the lowest categories of every demeaned thing. Discrimination, segregation, civil rights, protests, movements, peace by any means necessary, and integration and bustling and affirmative action, war on poverty, quotas, leader assassinations, all of this experience in my lifetime. The cost has been extremely high for us. But we are still here by the grace of God. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Now, I didn't see anybody raise their hand when I was talking. Am I telling your story? You see, God gave rise to us a resilience that make us be able to stand tall when others might be bowed down and broken. God has given us inner strength to run this race and to run it well. And my beloved, I want you to hear this thought. There is a history for us. No matter how much parts of the world wants to eradicate and remove it from the school system. But we are walking history. It don't have to be written in the textbooks. Let me tell you briefly a little bit of my family history. And I can tell you that my family history dating back to slavery days, I can't tell you a word about it. Am I talking to anybody? I don't know who my ancient ancestors were that came to this country. I can only go back as far as my dad's dad. But beyond that, I can't. So I marvel when I hear Pastor Hall talks about his family. I marvel to hear how it dates all the way back to the days of slavery. That history is lost in my family. But I can say this. My grandfather was born out of wedlock. I wasn't, but that's in my family. But he was born out of wedlock, but he became an itinerant pastor. He traveled all over to carry the word of God into churches and church homes. My father had less than a sixth grade education. Anybody have dads that didn't graduate from high school? But he was a hard worker, and he endured a lot of stress and struggle in trying to be a man and live with pride in this world in that time frame. There's a noticeable discrimination. I can tell you a personal experience. My dad was injured in the workplace. He wound up suing the company, got large sums of money. And he decided, we're going to buy us a real house now. We moved into the white community. Shortly thereafter, some representatives of the community came to us and tried to buy us out of our house. Sound like a raisin in the sun, don't it? But we didn't leave. We stayed there. And the white Italian gentleman next door befriended my dad, and they became close friends. So there we were, five brothers, and only of my, actually I have four brothers, and of my four brothers, that's five of us, only two of us graduated from college, from high school. Only two of us. Two out of five. There's something wrong with the system that does that to people. But I thank God that out of that, one of us dropped out. School refused to let him back in to finish. And instead, the proper response was, go to night school. Night school was the school that you send kids to that were dysfunctional and couldn't learn. This kid refused to go back, but by the grace of God, the doors open. That kid you're looking at is me. High school dropout who was told by his counselor, why you want to go to college? What you need to have is a good blue-collar job. Yeah, that's what's good for you. That's what you ought to do. College? No, why you want to do that? She was telling that to an A-B student. Do you understand? We as a people are resilient. We're strong. Three college degrees later, I'm a testimony that God can do great things. My story is not unique. It's not my story. It's our story. So when we think about celebrating Black History Month, which is 12 months in the year,
every month,
when we think about celebrating that, remember to celebrate yourself as well, because you are adding to the Black legacy built on some pretty strong shoulders from our past.
Yes.
Your legacy and the encouragement that you give for folk like us is so powerful. Whatever mistakes we've made, Brother Lamont, we're here now.
Amen.
And there is no burden too hard for God to carry for us.
Amen.
And with God, all things are possible. Can I get an amen? That's why I did it down here. I don't want to preach this, Pastor.
Thank you, sir.